Good morning. Good to see you. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you have your Bibles, would you open with me, please, to the book of Galatians. Yvette sends her hellos. Some of you know that Yvette is now working for North Carolina State Farm Bureau in the out-of-claims office, and she's not able to travel with me like she would like to, but she said to say hello to everybody here at Shannon Hills. I didn't sound like this when I woke up this morning. I looked like this, but I didn't sound like this. And pray that I get through everything okay. There's a difference between a message and the delivery of the message. And I guarantee you the delivery of the message is really not going to be so great. But maybe there is a message for you. The mail truck stopped in front of the house and the mailman got out. And he had a letter. And as he went down the sidewalk, he did a cartwheel. And then he did a somersault. And then he did a backflip. And he did a pirouette. And he handed the fellow the letter, and he said, the fellow said, that was some delivery. He opened it up, and there was nothing in the letter. See, sometimes the delivery could be spectacular, and if there's no message in there, then what good is it? And it's my prayer that God has a word, just a word, for somebody that might help you along the way. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Father, bless these moments and minutes as we consider thy word. May they minister grace to the hearer. If there's someone here today without Christ, help them to see their need. I pray that if there's someone here this morning who's seeking a word of wisdom or knowledge or understanding, that the Holy Spirit might speak into their heart. I pray, Lord, that you would speak, of course, to that person who needs you most. In Jesus' name, amen. When the fullness of time was come. I'd like to say, first of all, this morning that God has a plan. In Washington, D.C., right now, our leaders, our elected officials, are trying desperately to draw up plans. Some of you are aware of that. They're trying to fix things that they feel are broken. They're trying to break things that some of you say are working quite well. They're trying to stop global warming. They're trying to save Social Security. They're trying to provide comprehensive health care insurance, or whatever you want to call it. They've got these great grandiose plans, and they're working on them right now. Some legislators are not in places like this morning. They're in back rooms and in caucuses making deals and trying to fix things that are supposedly broken. They're trying to draw up plans. I recall a man in the Bible who drew up plans. He wanted to build bigger barns. And I could see in my mind's eye him coming and rolling out the blueprints and putting a rock on every corner and showing all of his friends where everything's going to go. He had plans. He said, I don't have enough room to store all of my goods, and so I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. He had plans. And with great pride, he shared with those that would listen what his plans were. But all the while, God called him a fool, although he had plans, basically because he left God out of his plan. God said, "This night thy soul will be required of thee." You see, as believers, we gather in places like this, having placed ourselves on God's drawing board. We have come to a place in our life where we have said, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." You see, we know that God has plans. God has plans for you. God has plans for me. God's plans don't have to be revised. God's plans don't have to be scrapped. God's plans don't have to change. With God, there is no plan B. There's only plan A. For most of the people you know, most of life is plan B. God has plans. When the fullness of time was come, well, this morning in this place, and hopefully in other places similar to this, someone is rolling out God's plan once again for all of us to marvel at. It's called God's plan of salvation. God has plans. And we see it rolled out like a blueprint in every book of the Bible, if we would just open our eyes and see it. God has plans. The New Testament is not plan B. The Old Testament is just the foundation for the very same plan. God is not changing his plans all of a sudden. God is not making bigger barns. God has a plan, and he's always had a plan. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." See, God has plans. Jesus came to tell us of those plans. And if he could pull out a physical blueprint of a spiritual plan, he would say, "And this is your room right over here. God has plans for you." I am so glad this morning that in the midst of this chaotic world where people are trying to find a way, we have discovered a simple secret that God has plans. God's plans are based on his eternal promises and his eternal word. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." You see, God has plans. When building nations or automobiles or pyramids, to build without God is foolishness and folly. Peter spoke about it. He said, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner." He watched his own people roll out their blueprints, roll out their plans, but they left out the most important element, the most important part. They left out Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. When our children and our grandchildren come and and roll out their plans before us. And they have plans. To be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a teacher, to be an engineer. It's all great. As a parent and as a grandparent, we should listen to their wonderful plans and then inquire, and where is God in all of this? The stone which the builders rejected, the same became the headstone of the corner. What good does it do if your child becomes the engineer or the astronaut that steps on the surface of the moon and will never step on the streets of gold because they forgot God had a plan? What good will it do if your children, your grandchildren, open up schools to teach away the darkness of ignorance, but they themselves know not God? What difference does it make if your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren earn millions of dollars on Wall Street and are, as the man who built bigger barns, become condemned by God, who says he is not rich spiritually, he's a pauper? You see, God has a blueprint. God has a plan, and not just in the book of Galatians. It's all through the Bible, if you would just look for it. And every time we open it, we can allow the Holy Spirit to remind us that God has a plan. And you and I need to be in harmony with that plan that God has. When the fullness of time was come, that's the hour. God sent forth his Son. That's the power. Made of a woman. That's the nativity. Made under the law. That's the captivity. To redeem them that were under the law. That's the liberty that they might receive. That's the charity. You see, God has a plan. And we would do well to understand how we fit into that plan. Make sure that we are where we're supposed to be in order that God might be where he must be. When the fullness of time was come, that's the hour. Timing is important, even in spiritual plans. It's an important element of faith in the fullness of time. There's a time to be saved. And for somebody, that might be right now. I don't know, but it's a good possibility. You see, God holds time in his fingers like stardust. And with God, timing is everything. Timing is important with sports. The batter must have perfect timing to hit that fastball and knock it over the fence. It doesn't just happen. It involves timing. You swing too late, you miss the ball, and it's a strike. You only get three. You see some people, they're always missing the ball because of timing. A time like this, they let it go by, and they miss out. When returning a serve in tennis, it does no good to swing the racket after the ball is already passed. Timing is important when you're playing tennis. Timing is important in everything. It's important when baking a cake or roasting a turkey. It's important when planting a seed. You don't plant in January when the earth is as hard as a rock. You have to know something about timing. if you're going to be a successful farmer. And then there's a time of reaping and a time of harvest. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. And there's a time to be saved. And I would just say to you, in case you leave before I'm finished, what are you waiting for? It's time. Timing is important. It's important when you go to the airport. If you're going to catch the plane, you have to be on time. You don't want to miss the boat, you have to be on time. It's important in business. Timing is everything. In making an investment on Wall Street, I guess now's not the time to buy Krispy Kreme stocks. I think that was 20 years ago. You see, your timing is off. You might have been a millionaire if you only knew about Google before everybody else knew about Google. Timing is everything in business and in the stock market. Timing is important in music. And timing is important in marching. I remember being in basic training in Fort Dix and having to go through the drill of marching. And there's always one fella in the company who could just never get it. He was always out of step. And the drill instructor was always on his back and always on his case. And he was always in trouble. He was always out of step. Maybe you met him. Worse than being out of step in basic training is watching somebody who's out of step with God. It's painful to watch. They're just not in step. Their timing is off. They're not in harmony with heaven. For some reason, it just doesn't seem to work. It doesn't seem to click. They're out of step with God. It's important in the natural life. It's important in the supernatural life. It's important in the body. It's important in the spirit. Now, we can play with time down here. And pass a law and turn our clocks back and turn them forward. I think it's spring forward and fall back, and we can play with it. But you can't play with God's timing. You can't fool with God's timepiece and heaven's time. The Bible's filled with stories of men and women who, for one reason or another, had bad timing. And because of that, their lives were filled with pain and heartache and suffering. And they're given to us for godly examples. Adam, Moses, Saul, perhaps the most famous of all, Abraham. You see, God had a plan. It involved a son named Isaac. And Abraham did quite well for a long time, but then became impatient. You know the story. And he and Sarah, perhaps around the kitchen table, thought they would step in and give God a hand to fulfill his plans. And because Abraham caved in, because Abraham didn't wait, you have to take your shoes off at the airport. The problem we have today with Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan and Gaza and the Palestinians, the problem we have, not saying that God doesn't love the whole world, but the problem we have all goes back to a case of somebody not waiting for God's perfect timing. He was in a hurry. And he got Ishmael when God said, I want to use Isaac. Now the world is fractured, and now the world is fighting over what was really just a matter of bad timing, lack of faith. See, God has a schedule and God has a plan, and we would do well to go along with God's plan. When the fullness of time was come, perhaps there's someone here this morning, and your problem is you're becoming a little impatient. And how many person has married the wrong individual because he just couldn't wait a little longer? And now they're the subject of many unspoken requests in prayer meetings, and a lot of tears and a lot of heartache because their timing was wrong. They weren't interested in God's plan. They wanted to build bigger barns. And now they have broken hearts. You're impatient. And all I have to say is, God has a plan. You can't improve on it. Trust Him. God is always on time. When the fullness of time was come, He's never early, He's never late. The Bible tells us that both Peter and John ran to the sepulcher after the resurrection. The Bible tells us that John, the younger of the two, outran Peter. I could almost picture Peter, like myself, out of breath, dragging up the rear. Peter, the young one, there first. But John had enough sense not to go in. He waited outside until Peter finally came up the trail, and Peter went in first. Some, for one reason or another, want to outrun God, and they get there first. What good is it going to do if you're there without Him? We're impatient, we're in a hurry. We're searching Facebook, we're looking at harmony.com, we're looking everywhere, when we really should be on our knees asking, Lord, what's your will for my life? Because you have a plan, and I don't want to miss that plan. You see, Isaiah understood that God has a plan. He knew that Assyria would have to rise, and then Assyria would fall and be replaced by Babylon. And then Babylon would have to fall and be replaced by the rise of Persia. And then Persia would have to fall at the rise of Macedonia or Greece. And then Greece would have to wane and Rome would have to rise. And finally, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, it came to pass in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. In the fullness of time, it was time for God to step into the situation and to change men's lives forever. For some people here this morning, 2009 was a difficult year. It was a year of challenge, if you will. Maybe it was a time when you lost your situation. Maybe your resources evaporated. Maybe even someone that you thought was going to be your partner all through the rest of life is no longer with you. It's hard. Could I just say that God has a plan? And God knows what He's doing. And while there are people everywhere desperately trying to get one more vote or take away one more vote and to get a 60 superproof majority or destroy, well, they're working on that in back rooms and meaning well. Can I say to you that God's plan for your life has nothing to do with the Democrats and nothing to do with the Republicans? God's plan for your life is what took place on Calvary, where He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to be your Savior and your Lord. set your watch to heaven's time. Paul said, I heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, today is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's somebody here, and they're on the fence. There's somebody here, they're on the dock. The boat's about to leave. I don't know who they are, but I'm saying that God's plan has an hour. Don't miss it. In the fullness of time, that's the hour. God sent forth his son. Now that's the power. You see, it's one thing to have the timing. It's another thing to have the power. If you don't have the power, you're not going to get the job done. Yes, you can connect with that fastball, but it's not going to go over the fence at all. You see, scientists right now, as I speak, outside of Geneva, Switzerland, a mile beneath the earth, are using the Hadrian Super Collider to try to recreate conditions of the universe 1/1,000,000,000th of a second before the universe began. Now, some scientists here know what I'm talking about. They're firing protons at each other, and they're trying to build up the speeds to the point where when they finally collide, they're going to recreate conditions of the Big Bang, which they call the Big Bang. Now, there are some people very nervous about this, that as a residual byproduct of creating the Big Bang in the laboratory, they might create black holes and everything's going to get sucked down. I don't want anybody to get nervous, but they're working on it right now, trying to harness the power of the universe. Well, good luck with that. Power is what men long to have, to hold, to conquer. And that's what politics is all about. That's what business is all about. That's what sin was all about. Who has the power? God sent forth his son. This plan also involves the power. You and I understand that God is the one who holds all the power in our lives. Jesus Christ stood before Pontius Pilate as he was about to go to the cross, and Pilate said to him, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you or to let you go? And I don't know it's so because it's not in Scripture, but I could almost see a smile break out on the face of my Savior as he speaks these words and says, you have no power except what's given to you from above. Are you nervous about not having the power? The boss has the power to maybe let you go, or the Congress has the power to make your life difficult, or are you concerned about the power? Can I say to you this morning, the power of God's plan is held in God's hands, and the power to implement and do the thing that God wants to do in your life, God also brings the power. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. In 4:32, it says his word was with power. And in 4:36 in Luke, it says that with authority, he had power to command. And in Luke 5, verse 13, it says that the power of the Lord was present to heal. In Luke 5, 24, the Bible says that Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sins. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. In John chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. And the day you understand that you have no power except the power that God gives you, you're always going to be in fear and always worrying, about what's going to happen next. Jesus Christ has all the power that's necessary to save you from your sin and to give you a permanent place in his Father's house. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, Jesus said to as many as John said, to as many as received him, Jesus, to them gives he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Luke chapter 1, turn there with me. Luke chapter 1. And verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Wow. The power of the highest overshadow thee. Which brings me to my third point. When the fullness of time was come, that's the hour. God sent forth his Son, that's the power. Made of a woman, that's the nativity. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. There's a wonderful verse in Luke that I think every young person needs to know. In it is a great promise and a great potential. Take a look at verse 37. It's a secret, if people could find it. It says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. How many believe that? I believe it with all my heart. You see, the world has taken that and twisted it and altered it. The world says nothing's impossible. That's not what it says. You go down to the bookstore and there's a whole section on self-help that will try to convince people that if you can think it, you can do it. Nothing's impossible. That's not true. The truth says, with God, nothing is impossible. I knew a lady that had a recipe for a fantastic cake. She would bring it to all social occasions, and people loved it. And they'd always say to her, can I have a copy of the recipe? And she'd give them the recipe, but it never turned out quite the same. It was never quite the same. And years later, they found out that the reason it was never quite the same because you always left out the secret ingredient. Oh, sure, here's the recipe. Gave it away. But she never gave the secret ingredient. Well, here's the secret ingredient in this recipe. God. Leave him out, and your cakes won't rise. And there are people everywhere. They're trying the best they can. But because they have left him out, the stone which the builders rejected has become the headstone of the corner. Yes, be the astronaut, be the doctor, be the lawyer, be the professor. But you'll never be what you were intended to be unless God is in his place. God has plans. And God finds this maiden named Mary. And someone say, Verse 37, with God nothing is impossible. That here is the secret of life. No. The secret is in the next verse. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. That's the secret. The secret of faith is not having faith in faith that you can do anything that you can think or want to do. The secret of faith is saying, I don't understand it, how a maiden can do what you say is going to happen, but be it unto me according to thy word. Well, the word tells us that we're sinners and that without a Savior, we'll never make it to heaven. We'll be separated from God forever. And God's word tells us that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which is lost, and that's you, that's me. And while you might not understand everything from Genesis to Revelation, you need to bow before God Almighty and say, "It be it unto me according to thy word." And the moment you bow your head to the word and the will of God, you become where you're supposed to be, in the center of God's blueprint, because God has a plan for you. There's not a person in this auditorium this morning that is an accident. God designed you on purpose, for a purpose. And you cannot find that purpose unless you find him. When the fullness of time was come, that's the hour, God sent forth his son. That's the power. Made of a woman, that's the nativity. Made under the law, that's the captivity. Just read the chapter 3 of Galatians before our text. And you see that the law, as great and wonderful as it is, cannot save us. It only tells us that we're sinners. And if it does its work without a savior, we're under a pile of rubble, like a collapsed building, unable to get out. Only Jesus Christ can find you under all that rubble, all that ruin. And that's what he came to do. To redeem them that were under the law, that's the liberty, to set you free. Barabbas thought it was his last day. He thought he was going to go to the gallows. Perhaps he heard the jingling of the keys as the guard came down the hallway. Maybe he screwed up his courage and said, "Well, this is it. I'm going to face it like a man." And suddenly the door of the prison opened, and somebody said to Barabbas, "You're free to go. Someone else has taken your place." I don't know what Barabbas did the rest of his life, but I know what I want to do, and I know what you should do, is to throw away my plans and step on God's drawing board and be a part of his plan and say, "Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." Made of a woman, nativity. Made under the law, captivity. To redeem them that were under the law, that's liberty, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might receive, that's charity. There are some people that'll never be saved because they're too proud to take charity. Well, here's some charity that you need to take. It's God's son and his salvation. It's a free gift. And every Christmas there's a Christmas tree that is packed away, and there's a present that no one has claimed. All the boys and girls have gone home. If someone were to take that package and to see who it was for, I believe that maybe that person is here this morning, and God would read the tag and say, "It's for you." You see, salvation is for everyone who will receive it. Have you received it? To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God has a plan. God wants you to be a part of that plan. Trust him as your Lord and as your Savior. Father, thank you that you in your love designed and drew up a plan of salvation, and countless numbers of people have been saved. But maybe there's someone here under the hearing of this, thy word, that needs to know that it's the hour. I pray that they would trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would perhaps swallow their pride and receive the free gift of the real charity of free salvation. And I pray that each one of us will go forth from this place seeking to be a part of your plan that brings you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day. God bless you. Thank you for coming.